Revelation 20. We're going to go back to Revelation 20 tonight. And we are going through the book of Revelation. We're about through. We're about through, y'all. And not only are we about through in the Bible, we're about through on the timetable, too. Amen? He's coming. He's coming. And so we want to be ready when he gets here. And I think if you read the book of Revelation, you're pretty well ready. I mean, as a believer now. As a believer. Revelation chapter 20, first 10 verses. Let's go ahead and read all 10 of those. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, we touched a little bit on this last week, but I wanted to show you a couple of things. I wanted to sort of teach you a couple of things before we finish tonight. That term 1,000 years is mentioned in this 6 times. 1,000 years. There's called a thing in the Bible, in Bible colleges, called the repetition principle, where if something's repeated over and over and over and over, the more it's repeated, of course, the more important it is. And so that 1,000 years, he means that. That's not figurative. That's literal 1,000 years. Now, some of you may know, most of you probably don't, but Baptists have been divided over when those 1,000 years take place. All through history of the church, people have been divided on this 1,000 years when it takes place. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, basically, there's 3 groups of people. There's one group of people, they're called amillennialists, millennium being 1,000. So there are amillennial thousandsists, you know. Meaning none. They don't believe that there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and they believe that, and there's people that really believe like this. I met some. They believe that Satan is chained up now. He doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any authority. Is that not biblical ignorance? That's biblical ignorance. Amillennial, meaning, and by the way, there are a lot of other things too. There are the power of God. There are the Word of God and all that. They don't believe it. But there are a lot of Baptists. They used to teach that in the Southern Baptist seminaries until about the 1930s and 40s that changed. There's no scripture to support what they believe. There's none. There's none. You can't read the Bible. These are people that they just think everything's good right now. They think everything's okay. where they live at. All right. Number two, there's a group of people called post-millennial. Now, that post means after the millennial reign of Christ. So what that means is, now, they believe that man will usher in that 1,000 years and Jesus will come back and set up his kingdom, and things will just keep getting better and better and better. They believe that Satan is chained up right now, and that the church is now in the place of Israel and can claim all the blessings of Israel and all the promises of Israel. But they believe that the millennial post, they believe that man will, he'll get better and better and better, and then the 1,000 years will come in, and then it will even get better. Now, there's all kinds of scripture against that. You know, last days, perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of themselves, wars and rumors of wars, you know, all those things. The average Christian that's been to Sunday school, you know, 10 years old knows better than that. But there's people that believe that. They believe that the church has now taken Israel's place. There's a mixture of these things too. Now, there's another group which I fit into, and I believe you do, premillennial. That means it's right before. We are right before the millennial reign of Christ. We're right before that 1,000 years starts, see. And we believe that there'll be 1,000 years, but first there's going to be a rapture, and there's going to be a tribulation, 7 years of tribulation, and then at the end of that tribulation, the church, the born-again believers, return with Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. And we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, as you just read in the scriptures, there's still going to be people that that didn't die, that lived during that time. There's going to be normal human beings. But we will be here with him to rule the world at that time. Now, Satan at that time will be chained and cast into the hell. He'll be cast in hell. And it says for a season, he's going to be let loose at the end of that 1,000 years. Now, we don't know what a season is. Nobody does. I mean, a day with God is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. We don't know what that means as a season. But the purpose will be is those people that were born and lived during that 1,000-year reign of Christ, since he's going to be here, there's going to be no more sickness, no more death. And these people's going to live, and they've got to be given a decision. Do you really want to follow Christ, or do you want your own way? Just as Adam and Eve was given that decision, see. If not, then they're not saved. They're being forced to be righteous. They're not righteous. They're being forced, see. And we always say you can't legislate morality. You can't force people. I mean, you may keep the rules, but that don't mean in their heart and in their mind that they love you for doing it. And they're going to have to be given the opportunity to accept Christ and follow him. And a lot of them won't. And they'll follow Satan. We read it. Did you see it? They'll follow him. And then that's when there'll be a great war. And then God will destroy him and cast him into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever and ever. Now, that's premillennial. That's what we are. Is that what you are? Amen. Do you really think the world's getting better and better till it'll get so good that we'll build him a throne in Israel and he'll go sit on it? No. No. Humanity does not want Jesus to come back. The majority of humanity, they don't care for him. They don't want him, see. And so we're premillennial. Now, I'm going to give you, we went through this whole book almost. I'm going to give you an outline of the whole book. In chapter 2, of course, chapter 1 is mostly an introduction, but in Revelation, chapter 2 and 3 is the church age. That's where we are. We're in the church age, okay? And he's talking to the churches. You remember the seven churches? He calls out their name, what says what's good, what's bad. And that's called the church age. That means the age in history when the church is here on planet Earth. That's what age we're in now, see. So chapter 2 and 3 is the church age. But you remember in chapter 4, I showed you where right at the beginning of chapter 4, he said, come up hither. And the church is raptured out in chapter 4. It's taken out. And you don't read about the church again till later. I'm going to show you. chapter 19. Now, the church is taken out in chapter 4. And it's brought back in chapter 19. And during that time is what? Can anybody tell me? After the church is taken out, before it comes back, what do we call that? Tribulation period. Also in there is the marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ. See? All right? In chapter 19, he starts talking about the church coming back. In chapter 20, Jesus comes back and he sets up his throne on planet Earth for 1,000 years. Now, he's not just ruling resurrected saints. He's not just ruling glorified believers. He's ruling the world, the human world at that time, whatever's left of it after the tribulation period. And then in chapter, when we get to chapter 21, chapter 22, that's the eternal state of our history. That's all eternity. That's eternity future. Now you go back to Genesis. Before Genesis is what? Eternity. It's eternity past. Then it goes through the Bible, you get over Revelation, and then after Revelation is eternity. Future. Time no more. Won't be any more clocks. There wasn't any back there. No more days, no more nights. It's all one eternal day. No more. Eternity, humankind, and then eternity again. And there'll be a new heaven, new earth. All right, now, I want to show you something. Look at verse 1 through 5 in chapter 20. I got time. You still with me? Okay. Verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read it again. We have time. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the old dragon, the old serpent, the dragon, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, locked the door, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. See that? After that, he must be, can you see that? What's the word? Loosed. A little what? Season. We don't know what that means. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, for Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is first resurrection. Now that doesn't mean that the people died before this were not with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But it meant that they didn't take part in the rapture resurrection, so their bodies have to be resurrected. Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, that's we would mistakenly say the rapture was first resurrection, but it won't, because it's going to be so limited, you know, where he's talking about the people that didn't go in the rapture, see. And so, verses 1 through 5, you've got the removal of the saints before the 1,000 years, okay? Satan. You got removal of Satan before 1,000 years. Now, Satan, whether we believe it or not, he's a person. I want y'all to get this through your head. He's not a spook, okay? He's not a half man, half human, horned, half horse stuff, you know, like you see on TV. He is a beautiful creature. He's a beautiful creature. He can transform himself into the angel of light. Now, angel is a creature. Angel's not a spook, not a spirit. Angel's a real created being. We just don't see them unless God wants you to. They can manifest themselves. All through the Bible, they would manifest themselves. And people say, well, it didn't happen in the New Testament. It did in the book of Revelation, but it also happened. Do you remember the pool of Bethesda when the crippled man tried to get in the pool, where once a year the angel would come down and stir the water, and he couldn't get in time? Somebody else would get in before him, and so Jesus went ahead and healed him laying right there. But an angel came down once a year and stirred that water. Anybody got in, got well. Y'all see what I'm saying? An angel is a created being. It's not a spook. The devil, don't be misled by this religious crowd. The devil is not a thought, a way of thinking. He's not just an evil that spreads over the earth. He is a person. He's a created person. Now, he's not a human being. He can't procreate. He's really neither man nor woman, but he is, as far as looking at him, he's a man, as all angels are. You won't find female angels in the Bible. They all look like men. When somebody would see them, they'd think they were a prophet or a preacher or even the Lord, and they'd fall down. But he is a created being. Now, he's alive and well on planet Earth right now. He's not in hell. He's not in hell. Don't ever mistake the devil being in hell. Watching them horror movies, you'll think he is. But you got to remember, those are lost people that make those movies. Those are not Christians. He's alive and well. He has a dominion. He's a ruler. He's a ruler. He's a powerful ruler in spiritual places that we can't even see. And I didn't write my verse down, but Isaiah says, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but Isaiah says there's worlds about man that if we could see them, it would drive a man mad. You go back and read Isaiah and Ezekiel and those, and they saw the spinning wheels, and they saw the seraphims and the cherubims. And by the way, those are not pretty creatures. To us, they're frightening to see such things. Now, Satan, he's not. He's not. He's beautiful. And that's one of the things that ruined him. His pride over his own beauty ruined him, see. And so up to this point in chapter 20, Satan has been walking about to and fro seeking whom he may devour. In other words, who he can destroy and take to hell. But I want you to listen to this now. Listen real close. If he's at your house, he can't be at my house too. He can only be one place at one time. Y'all understand that, don't you? He's not the Holy Ghost. He's not equal with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't have as much power. Now, he's powerful, but he doesn't have the power of the Holy Ghost. He can't resurrect the dead. He can't heal the sick. Now, he can fake it, but he can't do it. You remember Moses? God told him, said, take that stick. Just take that stick and go to Pharaoh and throw it down. He threw it down, it became a snake. You remember Pharaoh's fake? Religious leaders threw theirs down, and they all turned into snakes too. They faked the blood. They faked everything, see. And Satan can do that, but it's not real. It just appears to be real. See, it wasn't real. It appeared to be real. When God does something, it's real. But when the devil does it, it's an imitation, see. And so here's Satan. He's walking to and fro all over this earth. And by the way, he's been doing it since Adam and Eve. And you and I are no match for him. No. He already knows what we're going to do because he's seen millions of people be born and live and die just like us that did the same things we do. It's not that he is smart as God. It's just that he's done seen it all. And he's seen it all, 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 and he's seen it all now. For over 6,000 years on planet Earth, since the creation of man, he's seen them come and go, live and die, sin and get right, and sin and get right. And he knows exactly what we're going to do. Not because he can read your mind, he can't. But because he's seen it before, he knows what we're going to do. He says, "Oh, Ron Roddy, I used to know one back in 1716, just like him. I know what he's going to do tomorrow." Yeah. But he is supernatural. He's supernatural. That means he's above our natural. But he's not God. He's nothing like God. Compared to God is like comparing me and you to a little fire ant. I mean, that's what devil looks like to God, just a little old fire ant. He'd make a lot of noise, might give you a little bite. But let me tell you something. He is supernatural. And he does control principalities and powers of the air. Now, what does that mean, preacher? Now, listen real close. He's controlling things around us all through this world in spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, he's got demons that influence people. He's got demons. Just as we have angels that watch over us, and we do. Every one of us. God sends angels to watch over us. He has angels, fallen angels, demons, and he's got one over there. The news media wants to make a big deal out of Putin. We can blow Putin up tomorrow, one push and one button. But there's a demon influencing Putin right now, spiritual wickedness in high places. They have meetings over him. He's got one influencing our president, our governors, our senators, our congressmen, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, here's how to influence them. Because they've seen it all before, they know what to offer that man or that woman. They know how to turn them any way they want to turn them. You go down here to the palm reader, and she can't tell you your future. But she'll lie and tell you that she can if you'll give her enough money. But wait a minute, don't laugh at it. Because you go down there and she says, you're going to come into some money, a lot of money. And there's a demon standing there listening that's been appointed to you. And he says, well, if that's what'll stop him, I'll do it. And he'll go down the road somewhere, maybe a day later, a month later, or 6 years later, and he's going to set it up that when you get there, there's going to be a lot of money, just like she told you, if that's all it'll take to distract you and get you out of where you ought to be. If she says you're going to have a car wreck next week, he'll get some old drunk, be right where you're at next week, driving an automobile. He can do that. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, Satan's in charge of all of that. Yes. Now, but he can't do anything to us without the permission of our Father. But don't think he never gets permission. He does. Job goes up. Amen. That comes up every time. No, Satan goes up to the throne and God says, where have you been, Satan? He says, I've been to and fro on the earth. He said, have you ever considered my servant Job? He sent the devil on Job. He sicked him on him. Yeah. Well, God set it up. But so Satan sends his demons down there and destroys everything before us. That way he's destroyed everything that Job's got. And everybody, except for an unbelieving wife. And she says, won't you just cuss God and die? You'd be better off dead. And he said, you sound like a foolish woman. He liked that part, you see. And so spiritual wickedness in high places. Now you got to remember, this is not just the devil who irritates you one day going to get thrown into hell. This is the ruler of the demonic universe that's all around us, and all these things are happening and influencing us, and influencing TV shows, and influencing music, and influencing politics, and the prince of that's the air. Do y'all see what I'm saying? That's the air. Now, he's in charge of that stuff, buddy. And he's running rampant the day we live in. His crew is working overtime. Now, why is that? Because he knows his time is short. And look, he's working overtime because, listen, he read this book before you ever did. He read that book way before you ever did. He read that book. As God was telling John, write it down, the old devil was listening as he was telling him what to write down. Two thousand years ago, the devil knew what that book said, Brother Billy. And me and our little pea minds, we struggle to understand it, and the devil knows exactly what he's talking about. and the devil knows he's got a short time. And listen, he's planning this war and all this stuff, and knowing he's going to lose, but he hates God so much, he's going to go ahead and do it anyway. And you know what he'll do? He'll put you in it if he can. Because he don't like you either. You know, it's God that so loved the world, not the devil. The devil hates me and you because he hates God and he hates God's plan. He hates the Son of God. So therefore, spiritual wickedness in high places. He's not sitting in hell somewhere. He is the grand poopah. Amen? I mean, he's got the fish hat on like the Pope up there, buddy. Hey, he's in charge. And we look at this thing, we say, well, that's nice. He's going to chain up the devil and get him out of my hair. I didn't get my new car last year because the devil messed me up. I didn't get my hairdresser moved because the devil moved my hairdresser. No, that's nothing. We're talking big stuff here, buddy. American politics is the biggest thing on planet Earth, and he's above that. Now, let me tell you something. That time you got sick, he was in on it. And that time you had a car wreck, he was in on it. And that time you lost that job, he was in on it. And that time you lost that relationship, he was in on it. And that time you got your heart broke, he was in on it. That time you got disappointed, he was in on it. Don't think that this stuff just happens. He's in on every bit of it. And he's trying to discourage us and put us down and get us to quit and get us throwing the towel. And he's seen it happen multiple millions of times. And look, he's expecting me and you to do the same thing. He's tough, buddy. Hey. He's a tough buddy, I'm telling you. And he's working. Now I read that verse and I think when it says, look here, verse 3, 2. And he laid hold on the dragon and that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him. Boy, there you go. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. Because, see, to me, he's more than just a bad thought. He's more than just a bad feeling. He is everything bad that has ever happened in the history of humankind. He's that cancer over in Sonny Collins right now, killing him. Yeah? Yeah? He's that broken heart you're carrying around right now. That's all him. He did that. God didn't do that. He did that. And boy, I read where they're going to cast him in. I feel like having a Baptist fit and running up and down the aisle and jumping in the pew saying, thank God he's finally going to get out of my hair and everybody else's hair. And finally God's going to get on the throne and get him off of it. Amen. He won't be the prince of power in the air anymore. Amen. That's where we're going to stop tonight. I done went over time. Amen. We done chained the devil up. We can go home safely. Amen. No, sir. Hey, it's just the grace of God. He don't bother us more than he does. God won't let him. Amen. But let me tell you something. If you're not saved, that's your father. That's your father. There's only two families, family of God and family of the devil. Jesus looked at some religious people and he said, ye are of your father the devil. That's what he told them. They were two families. Saved or lost. Choices you got. If you're not saved tonight, I tell you to run to the altar. Because that old devil, he's got you. He's got you. But if you are saved and he's got you, I'd run to the altar too. If he's bothering you, get down here and say, Lord, I need some help down here. You said you wouldn't let me be tempted above I'm able. Now I need some help. The devil's on me. Get him off, Lord. Help, and he'll help. Amen. That's why it says he's ever present help in time of trouble. Let's stand.